That hymn is such a simple prayer, isn't it? I love hymns that address the Lord in a spirit of prayer. We're always very careful about the hymns that we sing here, but that one is very special. Well, we're going to be in Acts chapter 11 this morning, if you'd like to open your Bibles there with me. Acts chapter 11. I've been in this chapter and chapter 10 for several weeks now. There's a verse here I want to go back to and look at a little more deeply. We started back this morning meeting at quarter till 10 with the men's prayer time. So men, if you want to plan on participating in that, we'll close the door in the cry room at quarter till 10. Okay. Let's ask the Lord's blessings. Well, before we do that, look at verse 15 of Acts chapter 11. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. That's what we just sang. That's what we just asked the Lord to do, to send His Spirit and power to meet with us. And that's our prayer this morning. And if He does, all will be well. Let's pray. Our merciful Heavenly Father, our hope this morning is that You would enable us by the power of Your Spirit to enter into worship, to offer to You praise and honor and thanksgiving and supplications, Lord, as we come before Thy throne of grace and seek the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, our great need this morning is for Your salvation. We pray that You would bless Your word. We pray that You would open what no man can shut. Open the windows of heaven. Come down, meet with us. Open our hearts, give us faith, Lord, to believe on Christ. Open Your word and show us the mystery of the gospel that cannot be seen by any other way other than Your divine revelation. Lord, we are dependent upon You. We pray that You would give us rest and hope and peace and salvation and forgiveness and grace in Christ Jesus. For it's in His name we ask it. Amen. I've titled this message, Words of Life. Words of Life. This past week, we went to a bookstore, and they had a little plaque there that you could buy. And the plaque read, Words to Live By. Words to Live By. And this is what the plaque said: Walk in faith, be guided by love, and believe in yourself. Now that was a, quote, Christian bookstore. Words to live by. Words to die by, believing in yourself. I pray the Lord will speak to our hearts and give us the words of true life in Christ this morning. Look with me at verse 14 of Acts chapter 11. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? That's what you and I are in need of right now more than anything else. We're in need of being saved. We need to be saved from our sin and from the wrath that is to come. And the scripture says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Lord makes you a sinner, you'll believe that your sin is paramount to anyone else's, and you will seek the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. That's the only place we can go, is to Christ. And what hope and rest and forgiveness we have when the Lord gives us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's our need. The Lord told Cornelius, sent to Joppa, which translated means beautiful, and asked for Simon, which translated means heard, whose surname is Peter, which translated means rock. And he will tell you words whereby thou and thy house should be saved. Now, that's what we're doing right now. We've come to the beautiful city of Joppa, where the Lord has promised his power and his presence. And we're listening to be heard, to hear the word of God, and to be able to stand upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might hear words that would save our souls, save us from our sins, save us from ourselves. A sinner truly believes himself to be his own worst enemy. Do you believe that about yourself? That your unbelief and your wickedness, your sin, it's your biggest problem. You are your biggest problem. And we need to be saved from ourselves. And we need to be saved from Satan. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He's the father of lies. He's the roaring lion that prowls around seeking whom he may devour. And he's stronger than we are. And if the Lord doesn't save us from him, he will overcome us. And so whatever else might be going on in our lives, the greatest need that we have is to hear from God words that would save us, save our souls, and give us rest and hope in Christ. That's why we're here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by one offering he hath," past tense, "perfected forever them that are sanctified." The Lord Jesus Christ offered himself to his Father as an offering for the sins of his people. And faith is looking to the finished, accomplished, successful work of the Lord Jesus Christ and glorying in his person and resting in him for the hope of our salvation. He's that word, isn't he? He's the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning." That which was from the beginning. In the beginning. In the beginning, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal, self-existent one, the omnipotent one. "That which was from the beginning," John said, "which we have heard and which we have seen with our eyes and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life." He calls the Lord Jesus Christ the word of life. He is that word. We don't separate the preached word, the written word, from the living word. It's all about him. And he is our hope. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 said that he was holding forth the word of life. As he preached Christ, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ as that word of life, and he was holding him forth. And if the Lord gives us faith in Christ, we will have heard from the word of God, and our souls will have been saved. That's our need. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 says, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood." John saw the Lord Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for sin. And he said, "He was clothed with a vesture dipped with blood, and his name is called the Word of God." That's his name. His name is the Word of God. So when the Lord told Cornelius, "Send to Joppa, go to the city beautiful, find someone who's heard, who's preaching the rock on which we stand, and who is himself standing upon that rock, and he will tell you words." He's going to tell you about Christ, is what he's going to do. The Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 1, is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. Let there be light. That was the word of God speaking, and he speaks all things into existence by the word of his power. Who else has the power to create with words? God doesn't have to put together raw materials. He doesn't. He creates out of himself. And all he does is speak the word. That's what, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. Isn't that what that centurion said? Asking the Lord to heal his servant. Oh, speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Lord, your word is all powerful. I'm a man of authority. I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to the other man, come, and he comes. And if I've got that kind of authority, then what kind of authority do you have? You're God. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Send to Joppa. Get Simon Peter, and he will tell you words that will save your soul. Remember what the disciples said when they responded to the Lord and said, Lord, where should we go? Where else are we going to go? We've got no place else to go. You alone have the words of eternal life. We know and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've spoken to our hearts and we've believed. You've given us faith and ears to hear, hearts to believe. Lord, you are the hope of our salvation. We have no salvation outside of Christ. The Word of God is alive. There's no other word like that. It's alive. Hebrews chapter 4 says the word of God is quick, which means alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and able to divide asunder the marrow from the bone and the thoughts and the intents, expose the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. That's the living word of God, blessed by the Spirit of God. He will speak to you words whereby thy house and thyself shall be saved. That's what we're trying to do right now. We're trying to speak the word of God, that the Lord would make those words effectual by his Spirit to our hearts and give us hope in Christ and save us. Save us from our sin. Save us from ourselves. Save us from Satan. Save me, Lord. That's what I need. I need to be saved. And I know there's some that are hearing me right now and they're thinking, well, I've already been saved. Oh, Peter said, to whom coming? Lord, we never presume upon a past experience as the hope of our salvation. We're having to look right now to the Lord Jesus Christ for the hope of our salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, the Lord says, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. God's word doesn't change. That's why we don't read from or promote modern paraphrases. I won't even call them translations. They're not translations. They're just paraphrases. What is the religious world doing? They're saying, well, you know, the King James Bible, that's just, you know, that's old and archaic, and we need to modernize it and make it more relevant to, you know, modern day society. Well, God's word is alive, and he will make it relevant, and he will make it effectual. We're not trying to change God's word. God's word's the same. And everything that, you know, culture changes, men change, you change, I change, but God's word doesn't change. Why? Because it is himself. It's the essence of his being. When the Lord Jesus is called the Logos, he's called the Word of God, it's not, you know, we use words to communicate ideas, but in the scriptures, when the Lord Jesus is referred to the Word of God, it's the essence of his being. It's who he is. He is his Word. So we're resting in and looking to. The rest of that passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 goes on to say, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the field. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth away, but the word of God endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So, you had a lot of fundamentalists, I'm sure, that would hear what I've had to say so far and say, "Amen, brother, we believe the Bible's the word of God. And we're King James only believers, you know." But they're not preaching Christ. They're not preaching the gospel. This is the word. If Christ is not being preached, the word of God is not being preached. It becomes nothing more than a book of history or a book of theology or a book of doctrine. This book is about Christ. I'm going to tell you words. That man from Joppa, he's going to tell you words. What words exactly did Peter say to him? Well, we have them recorded in the previous chapter. Turn back with me. Turn back with me to chapter 10. And look at verse 34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" Now, you and I are respecters of persons. We just are. We respect different things about different people, and some people we ignore and other people we give attention to, and we are respecters. You know, God's not that way. Yeah, I don't know what worms think, but I've had a bucket of worms before to go fishing, and they seem like they're competing with one another in that little can, you know. They're wiggling all over the place, and some of them, I guess, are stronger than others, and some of them maybe are smarter than others, and some of them get on top of the others. But when I look in the can, all I see is a can of worms. Isn't that the way we are? Just a bunch of worms trying to prove which one's stronger and which one's smarter and which one's on top of the others. And God looks in the can and all he sees is worms. He's not a respecter of persons. He sees us all the same. Let me show you that from Isaiah chapter 64. God makes no distinction. We cannot present anything to God like we do to one another for the hope of our acceptance. Look at Isaiah chapter 64. Look at verse 5. "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness. Those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. And in those is continuance, and we shall be saved." Now, let me tell you what that means. Those who will be saved are those who see themselves as continual sinners. Let me ask you a question. What is the greatest sin that a man can be guilty of? What's the greatest sin? Well, sin by definition is a violation of God's law, is it not? And a Pharisee asked the Lord one time, "What's the greatest of the commandments?" And what did the Lord say? "To love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself." That's the greatest commandment. And so the greatest sin is the violation of the greatest commandment. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you loved God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul? You see, we're in sin continuance, aren't we? And when was the last time you loved your brother like yourself? I like what one brother said. He said, I ain't much, but I'm all I think about. You know, I ain't much, but I'm all I think about. Isn't that true? You see, in these is continuance, and we shall be saved. You recognize, acknowledge, confess before God what he has already said is true about us. He's not a respecter of persons. We're all in the same can of worms. And in those is continuance, and they shall be saved. Lord, I can't not sin. If that's the greatest commandment, then I'm guilty of the greatest violation of the law of God. Look at the next verse. But we are all as an unclean thing. What's more unclean than a can of worms? And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquity has taken us away. Peter begins. Remember to Isaiah, Lord, where do I start? Tell them they're grass. Tell them all flesh is as grass. This is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of God endureth forever. The Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. He's the revelation of grace and mercy and truth. He's the one we need. He's the only one that can save us. And so Peter begins by telling Cornelius words about himself. About himself. Cornelius, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Are you a sinner? If you're a sinner, then you're a candidate for salvation. Most men don't believe themselves to be sinners. Not in continuance. All men have a conscience, and people feel guilty when they do something really bad, but the worst thing you can do is not love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind all of the time. That's the worst sin you can commit. And in those is continuance, and they shall be saved. Don't you love that? You see, there's our hope. There's no hope for salvation unless you're a sinner, a continual, guilty sinner. Then there's hope. And so Peter goes to Cornelius' house in Caesarea and tells him, God's not a respecter of persons, Cornelius. Don't think that anything that you've done or any prayer that you prayed or any work that you performed is going to earn you favor with God. You need Christ. You need a sacrifice for your sin that's acceptable to God. And the Lord Jesus is that only sacrifice. So go back with me to our text. He's not a respecter of persons. Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Sinners are glad. You know, We don't come to God with a broken heart, thinking that if I just am contrite enough and sorrowful enough and sinful enough that God will accept me. No, we come to him for a broken heart, not with one. We have nothing. Lord, I can't plead any grounds for my salvation other than what the Lord Jesus has accomplished for me. He's my only hope. I can't bring you my broken and contrite heart and think that I'm going to have acceptance because I've gotten myself in some place of spiritual piety. Lord, I need a broken and contrite heart. The fact is, my heart is broken. When something's broken, it doesn't work, does it? If you break something, it no longer works. And that's what a broken heart is before God. Lord, my heart doesn't work like it. I can't love you like I should love you. It's broken. Lord, you're going to have to You're going to have to make it right. You're going to have to stand in my stead. You're going to have to be my sin bearer, my substitute, my surety, and all my satisfaction before God. You're going to have to cover my sins with your blood. I've got no place else to go. These are the words whereby we shall be saved. It's all about Christ. Now, though Peter begins by telling Cornelius that God is not a respecter of persons, look at verse 35. And in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. You know, the Lord has written his word in such a way as to give the unbeliever enough rope to hang himself. And there's a verse right there. Well, if I just fear God and I work righteousness, then I'll be acceptable to God. We are accepted only in the beloved, Ephesians chapter 1. Only in the beloved are we going to have acceptance with God. No amount of fearing God or living a God-fearing life is going to earn you acceptance with God. Christ is our acceptance with God. And when we come to faith in Christ, then we fear God. And then in Christ we work righteousness. Christ is our righteousness before God. And all those who are found in him, not having their own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness, which is by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, they fear God. They believe God. They fear standing in the presence of a holy God apart from Christ as their Savior, their substitute, their salvation. And in him, they're perfectly righteous before God. For as he is, so are we in this world. There's our hope. These are the words of life. This isn't words to live by. You know, when that person who wrote that plaque said words to live by, they were talking about just living your life in this world so that you can be more happy and more successful. And no, these are words of life. Words to live by. Believe in yourself. That's the world's philosophy. Just believe in yourself and you'll do good. You know, have confidence. We're confident, but our confidence is in Christ. We come before the throne of grace with boldness, with confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ is our acceptance before God. Peter is telling Cornelius words of life. These are words of life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. But men loved darkness rather than light. They'd rather glory in their own righteousness than to bow before God. We'll not have this man reign over us. We're not going to bow to him. We're going to have something. You know, that really, you boil it, you know, they talk about follow the money in order to find out where the problem is. Well, you want to find out where the problem of sin is? Go all the way back to the beginning in Genesis. This is the root cause of all sin. God does not want you to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for he knows in the day in which you eat of it, you'll be like God. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that that man of sin sets himself up on the throne of God. There's our problem, isn't it? That's the world's problem. They want to be God. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it, and nobody's going to tell me otherwise. They will not bow. That's all faith is bowing before the Lord Jesus, saying, Lord, help me, save me. I can't do this. So Peter tells Cornelius words. Look at verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. You want to have peace with God? There's no peace with God apart from the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ came to make peace with God. You're not going to make your peace with God. Christ Jesus, the Lord, is our peace. He is our Melchizedek, the Prince of Peace and the King of Righteousness. He's the one that Abraham paid tithes to in Genesis chapter 14. And he had without father and without mother and without descent. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our peace. And that's what Peter's saying. You want peace with God? Or do you want that false peace that the world has to offer when they say believe in yourself? Just believe in yourself. You'll have peace. Or just make this decision or pray this prayer or work this work and you'll have peace. And it's peace when there is no peace. It's a false peace. And yet men are so easily deceived. And if the Lord doesn't give us eyes to see Christ and to rest in Christ, Hebrews chapter 4 says that the word that came to those Old Testament saints was not mixed with faith. We read that this morning in the men's prayer time. They didn't see it as the word of God. They didn't believe on Christ. The word. You see that, verse 36? Here's the words that Cornelius is giving the man from Joppa who has heard from God. Who's standing upon a rock, he will tell you words whereby thine and thy house shall be saved. These words are about Christ Jesus, the Lord, who is our peace. And look what he goes on to say, and he's Lord of all. How foolish it is to stand against God. How foolish it is to raise your fist to heaven. How foolish is it to say to God, no. He's Lord of all. He's omnipotent. He's not going to change. Turn back with me to Psalm 2. Look at Psalm 2. It's not we don't bow to him just because of his power. We bow to him because of his grace. But here Peter's saying, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. You don't make him Lord. He is Lord. God has made him to be Lord over the living and over the dead. And here's what God says about those who would not bow to Christ. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They imagine an empty thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break his bands asunder and cast away his cords from us. And he that sitteth in the heavens is not threatened by their unbelief. He's not the least bit intimidated by the unbelief of his creatures. He laughs, holds them in derision. God's people will bow. They will believe. They will love Christ. They will rest in him. And that's what Peter's telling Cornelius. The word which came from God about God making peace through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. He's Lord of all. All the nations and all the companies and all the everything in this world, he's in control of. Who are we to complain? Who are we to murmur? Look at verse 37. That word, I say. Now remember, The angel told Cornelius, this man from Joppa is going to tell you words. And now he's telling him these words. Look how many times the word is used.
That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. John identified the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And he said, I must decrease and he must increase. He gets all the glory. I'm nothing. He's everything. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He's the anointed one. We have the Holy Spirit in measure. Very, very small measure. We look through a glass darkly. We have just enough of the Spirit of God to crack open the window of heaven and let a little bit of light come into our souls and give us hope. And we keep asking for more. Lord, give us your Spirit again and again and again. The Lord Jesus Christ came with the oil of gladness, the scripture says, above his fellows, above us. He came with the full anointing of the Spirit of God and the full power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead, to do what? Is there any way that Christ could fail to save his people? That's what Peter's saying to Cornelius. Look to Christ. He's the one who God sent. He's the promised one. He's the Messiah. He's the Word of God, and he's the one, the only one that can save you. And that's what you need. You need to be saved. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And when the Lord ascended back into glory, what did he say? All power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Oh, the full power of God was upon him. And the scripture says, and when we were yet without power, without strength, without any ability, Christ died for the ungodly. He's got all power and we have none. We can't save ourselves. These are the words of life. Have you ever heard sweeter words? You ever heard more encouraging words? Have you ever heard... You ever heard my hopeful words? Words that speak the truth to your soul and words that cause you to flee to Christ. He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, he's still doing that. He's still doing good. He's still oppressing those. He's still delivering those who are oppressed by the devil. You know, this is a hard saying, but it's true. You're either under the authority of Christ or you're under the authority of Satan. People say, I'm not under anybody's authority. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. He is the one who blinds the eyes of the unbeliever. And the Lord Jesus came and broke down the gates of hell in order to make captivity captive. Now the Lord said that. I'm going to take those who are in the captivity of Satan and make them captive to myself. That's what he came to do. And he destroyed the works of the devil and set those free who are under the dominion of Satan and cannot see and cannot believe. These are the words of life. This is what Peter is preaching to Cornelius, and this is what God's preaching to us. Look at verse 39. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a cross. That word slew doesn't mean to be put to death. It means to be sacrificed. He was sacrificed as the lamb that's without spot. And cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. The Lord Jesus Christ was cursed of his Father. He suffered the full wrath of God's justice. For 3 hours the sky was blackened and the earth shook. And the Lord Jesus suspended between heaven and hell. Can you just see all the angels in glory breathlessly waiting with their swords drawn for the Lord Jesus to call? He said, I could have called 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. 12 legions of angels. What would 12 legions of angels have done to this earth? As we were sacrificing and killing the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, that way they would have delivered him and destroyed everything else. But he didn't do it. He laid down his life willingly for his sheep in order to satisfy the demands of God's justice. Oh, what words of life we have. This is what Peter's telling Cornelius. And he says, but God raised him the third day. The death, burial, and resurrection. And everybody's meeting today and celebrating Easter. And the child of God celebrates the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ every day of his life. It's the resurrection of Christ that proves to me that God is pleased and satisfied with Christ alone. We don't have to set apart a special day. You want to do special things on today? Fine, but this is the hope of every believer every day. God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going around like we see religious men doing, pleading that you would believe on him, pleading that you would make him Lord, pleading with men to let him have his way. Oh, won't you let me save you? No, 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 no. No. He is Lord over the living and the dead. He will make you willing in the day of his power. And he's not revealing himself to anybody except his elect. That's all he's revealing himself to. Nobody never has and never will. Until that day of wrath, when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All the world, all of creation, every generation will know in that day. And we have those words of life now. We have the word of life, the Lord Jesus. What hope. Whereby we shall be saved. All right, let's take a break.